Hey everyone, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 10 now, starting in verse 1. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without paying. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts. No bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town." So previously, Jesus has been teaching about the kingdom and has done all these things that he's asking the disciples here to do. He has cleansed lepers, he has healed the sick, he's cast out demons. He has been exhibiting the kingdom of God and inviting people to be a part of it. And this all involves restoring people to life. Remember that much of what he does is reversing the things that kept people from worship in the temple in the Old Testament: skin diseases and death and discharges of blood and demonic possessions. Now he's sending the 12 on the same mission to do the same thing that he has been doing. Obviously, this 12 is another connection to the Old Testament. Jesus is reconstituting or reconfiguring the 12 tribes of Israel, who were the descendants of Abraham, who were supposed to bless every nation, who were called to be a part of God's mission to undo what human rebellion had done to the human race. And he says here that they are sent to the lost of the tribes of Israel. They're not to go to the Gentiles. And this is kind of a biblical pattern. After all, Paul and his missionary journeys always first went to synagogues to present the message of Jesus and the kingdom, the imminent, close kingdom that we could enter into. So Jesus is only holding up his pattern that started with Abraham, blessing Abraham and learning, teaching him to enter into the kingdom and then bringing that blessing to others. Notice he says the lost sheep. That image of sheep and shepherds in the Bible is repeated, and a shepherd in the ancient world was a king, or I should say a king was described as a shepherd. And sheep need two things in this case: to be protected from harm, and that's what Jesus is doing in the healing and the exorcism, and to be led, to be guided, to be given the mission of the king, to be a part of what he's doing. So he sends the disciples to do those four things: proclaiming the kingdom and exhibiting the kingdom by healing, raising, cleansing, and casting out. He tells them not to get a big budget to, you know, wait until they have money to do this, but just to go. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, he taught about not worrying about tomorrow and trusting your Heavenly Father to provide what you needed. He said you should seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, or seek first what he's doing, and he will take care of you. And now they're called to put that teaching into practice. And, you know, we get a report of a successful mission, but I imagine it was quite a learning curve there in the beginning. But they're called to put that into practice. And it's a good reminder that you don't need a budget to be a disciple and to find other people who want to be disciples. And that Jesus is saying, if those are your two goals, to be a disciple and to be a part of helping other people be disciples, your Father will take care of you. He then notes, though, that the response is going to be varied. Jesus says, "I come to bring a sword. I come to divide between those who want to be my students and follow in my way and receive the kingdom and be a part of it, and those who don't want to be a part of it." And so it's necessarily going to bring different responses, and some of those are going to be negative. Worthy responses will be demonstrated, Jesus says, by taking care, by providing you guys, by giving you hospitality and providing for your needs. And so Jesus there connects a positive response to Jesus to concretely taking care of his messengers and emissaries. On the other hand, unworthy responses don't. And he says, listen, if people don't respond, leave. And when you leave, shake the dust off your feet. There's probably a couple of things going on here. The serpent, the ultimate rebel, ate the dust of the ground. So it's a disassociation from rebellion against God. But also, Jews often in this day, when they left Gentile territory, would shake the dust off their feet because they felt like they were contaminated. And I think this is Jesus' way of saying, if people in the house of Israel, the lost sheep, reject the message of the kingdom that's coming through Jesus, they're making themselves Gentiles. They're making themselves outsiders. And of course, we know that outsiders can become insiders, but Jesus first wants to go to those of the house of Israel. Then he says they're making themselves not only like Gentiles, but like the worst of Gentiles, like Sodom and Gomorrah, like rebels who will be judged. Finally, just this comment on mission. We are called to this exact same mission wherever we are, and these principles apply. They may have to be configured to our context, but we're called to precisely the same mission. We're not apostles like they were, but we are within the context of the church that Jesus began and the mission that God has been enacting since the beginning, since Abraham. We are too called to heal, raise, cleanse, cast out, all in the name and with the grace and the help of our King, who wants to deliver people from what sin destroys and give them direction and mission and purpose in life. And we're called to trust our Father along the way. We're called to make that our chief priority and know that when we do so, He will provide for us. We're called to concretely support that mission with our time, our money, our effort, our homes. And it's really important that we don't understand or we don't think of this as, well, the church has a mission. I would say the church is a mission. The church is on mission. By definition, if we are disciples of Jesus, we are missionaries. We are a part of what we're called to be a part of this self-same thing. Being saved means being caught up in the mission of our King. He delivers us from what sin destroys, and then He includes us in on what He's doing. That's a part of what it means to be saved. So He says, freely we have received, may we freely give. So may we get caught up in this mission. May we receive the full blessings of the kingdom of God. And may we learn to be a part of the flow of the kingdom out to those who are not a part of it, to offer to them the good news of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.